This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, alive and well here in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 22nd, episode 1195, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
That's right. It is Monday. And thank you so much for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. I just have to start the show off the same way I did last week. Oh, my God. Jurassic World did another $400 million. They are up to $981 million, almost $1 billion after 2 weeks.
You have got to be kidding me. Is this like the same people that went last weekend went again? Or is it just a whole slew of new people?
Judging by my Facebook feed, a whole slew of new people. Because I saw a ton of people going to Jurassic World. We still haven't gotten there. We're hoping to see it one night this week. But 980. I guess they made their money back, huh?
Yeah. I mean, how much did it cost to make? I mean, certainly not $100 billion.
When this trailer first came out, you and I talked about a year ago, and I said, who is going to go see another Jurassic Park movie? It looks exactly like the other Jurassic Park movies. And guess what? Well, it was I.
You are way off. If you were sitting in that boardroom and you were the one guy who was like, don't do it.
Fired.
Don't do it. Nobody's going to go. And then they were like, oh, yeah, well, okay. You're fired.
Yeah. I was a billion dollars worth of wrong.
That is so crazy. I don't know how much they spent, but it wasn't $1 billion. So I can't even imagine.
Now, there was another movie that actually opened and did very well. It was the best Pixar movie opener for an original movie, not a remake. So, or not a sequel. It's called Inside Out. It did $91 million, which isn't too bad for an animated movie. I gotta go see this. We also have to go see that this week sometime. It looks hilarious. It just looks very funny.
So I there's a horse in it.
Horse? No, we're going on what?
Oh.
3.5 minutes here.
So thank you, Jennifer, for keeping us straight.
You confused me. I'm Googling Inside Out. I was hoping there was like another Disney horse.
No, I don't think there's any horse. I don't know that there's any horses in this one. This is the one where you actually see the little people in people's brains that do the thinking for them and control the body. You actually see the little characters in their brains, and you see all the different emotions. There's a different person for every emotion. It looks very funny. So it's got 98% of Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take any new dang Pixar movie because I'm so tired of seeing the same old ones over and over again with Lucas. So I was like, new Pixar, yay!
I think you can see this one, actually. I think it'll be fine. Yeah, so, I mean, their poor opening just got dwarfed. It's like, it's one of the biggest openings Pixar has ever had. It's like, who cares? They got $400 million over there.
Oh, it's Amy Poehler, too. I love her. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'll go see Inside Out.
I think you're going to like this movie, actually. It looks very funny. I can't wait to see it. course, I'm a Pixar guy. I like all Pixar movies. So
yeah, should be kind of that guy.
You must be Toy Storied out too. I mean, how many times have you seen all the Toy Stories?
None. I really? Haven't started the Toy Story. We're still so he gets one and he wants to see it over and over and over again. Of course, I'm talking about Lucas, not Chad. So. Right now, it's because that dang T-shirt. You bought him a T-shirt for his first birthday, and it was like, you know, appropriate for like a 4-year-old. Well, he's really tall, so that shirt actually.
What do we know
fits
about kids?
I know. For his first birthday, you got him this giant bed sheet of a shirt, and it fits him now. So he started wearing that, and then I showed him the movie, and he is obsessed with Monsters University now. And so SpongeBob and Monsters University. So he'll sit down, and I'll say, what do you want to watch? Somebody needs to clean stalls or cook dinner. You put your kid in front of the TV. I'm that mom. What do you want to watch? Baba. That's SpongeBob. Or what do you want to watch? Rawr. That's Monsters University. It's pretty cute. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
It's all your fault.
You're welcome. Well, I got to talk to you. I can't wait to hear about your weekend. So let's find out from Jennifer what is coming up on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, breaking from the gate, we've got a herd of highly entertaining co-host adventures. And then midway through the turn, Captain Rakes from the Kentucky Mounted Patrol and her sidekick, Mindy, will be here to introduce us to the three newest celebrities making their homes at the horse park and then cantering across the finish line in a leisurely fashion, the wacky world of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thanks, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie goes to Ann Pringle and to the Driving Digest. They're sponsors of ours over on the Driving Radio Show. And the American Horse Publications Awards are big awards that are held for media in the horse world every year. And they just happened in San Antonio, Texas over the weekend. And Driving Digest, this little publication with less than 15,000 subscribers, actually won for general excellence in the smaller publications category, but it also won overall publication.
Of
all the magazines, it won the overall publication, Little Driving Digest. And we want to, Anne's super nice. She comes on our show once a month, and it is a great magazine. We actually get it here. The pictures are incredible. She does most of the photography. The articles are really good. If you're a driver, you get Driving Digest. So congratulations to her and to everybody that works with her over at Driving Digest to beat out all the big boys.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, overall publication.
Do you think that pissed off the AIM group that owns all of those magazines, the big magazines? Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking of. I'm like, all those big dogs were like, come, what? What are they talking about?
Yeah. What's this, a magazine for driving?
We're sensitive about it because I love that this publication is a sponsor of your show where most people go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not advertising with you because I bought an article, a place in a magazine.
A magazine, and they advertise
with
us.
Nobody reads. And the magazine advertises with us. It's awesome. And they win awards.
Yes.
It's full circle. Cyclical.
It is full circle. It's funny though, isn't it? Your turn.
Now, I am no lover of football. I'm a baseball girl and I love baseball, but I'm not a football guy. But I got to give a Daily Winnie out to Wes Welker. Wes Welker is an NFL player. And this NFL player went ahead and bought a horse. And he was unnamed from a sale at Caneland, or his people did. And he then went to be undrafted as a free agent. So he named the horse Undrafted. And from what I understand, they know the horse has been training great and he's doing great, but I don't think Wes Welker really put a whole lot of stock into Undrafted because they sent him over to the Royal Ascot on Saturday, the final day of the meet, the biggest race of all. And he didn't even go. And oh, his horse won. That's crazy. So he tweeted out, like, I can't believe I didn't go. My horse won. So let's listen to the race. This is so how this.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's no turn. This is very confusing. And we're going to have Glenn and I watched. Hold on, Glenn.
I'm holding.
Hold on. I said that Glenn and I watched this and we were very confused because there's yes. no turns. It's just totally straight. It's six
it's
furlongs.
It's like a quarter horse race where they just race in a sprint.
But it's really long. I mean, it's six furlongs. So it's just there's no turn and it's this mass rush of horses and the just it's like a quarter horse race, but just a little slower and longer. So it was interesting to see. And I am trying to find a way to post on our Facebook page. The jockey of Undrafted had a helmet cam on. So I'm I'm trying to figure out how to get that under our horses in the morning. Let's listen to the race.
All right.
Gina's the last. They're all in. And they're off for the Diamond Jubilee Stakes. Brazen Bow got away well towards the stand side. Towards the centre, Ansgar in a pink jacket, however, is the overall leader to a stare in a sheepskin noseband. Due Diligence is close up in the blue and orange, and then Brazen Bow from Juan Gina. And Brazen Bow is running a solo towards the stand side running rail. And three distinct groups with Pearl Secret pulling hard in rear.
The track's really wide, too.
Music Master and Juan Gina and Tropics and the Grey Glass Office. Ansgar is still leading the larger cluster. Muster Jeeb in the blue and white tracks in with a stare and movie star. Lucky Crystal, Gordon Lord Byron. Brazen Bow still running that solo. Casper Netra and Undrafted in touch. And the two groups now converge. And still Brazen Bow runs alone as they head down towards the last quarter of a mile. A stare being joined by Muster Jeeb. They've headed Ansgar, Brazen Bow, Music Master, the Greensleeves. Then Juan Gina down towards the final furlong of the Diamond Jubilee. And it's Brazen Bow for Australia on the near side. Here goes Frankie on Undrafted on the far side from Astera and Music Master. Undrafted. Brazen Bow towards the near side, trying to peg him back. Undrafted wins the Diamond Jubilee under Frankie. Brazen Bow is...
There you go.
I figured it out. Okay, you see, you can see the helmet cam of the victory on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. So, so cool.
What's crazy is it's really wide. The track is really wide, and they're all bunched up playing bumper cars in the middle.
I know. It's like a football field long. There's plenty of room. People spread out.
There was one horse all the way over from everybody else. He was just running by himself.
I don't know why they do that. Maybe
it's motivation. You know, it gets the horses going.
Again,
I don't know.
Make a list of questions for Victoria. Is it all grass? Are all races turf at the Ascot? Is it all straight? Is there any turns? How does this work? We have more questions than answers. But you can see the helmet cam, and it's on our Horse in the Morning Facebook page. And you can see, like, there's two football fields width of running room. And this horse is, like, behind these other horses trying to – Undrafted is trying to figure a way out.
He could have just ducked on the right side there. I don't know. I don't get it.
But. Just everybody – if I was a jockey in the starting gates, I'd be like, okay, everybody, break and fan out.
That's
just break and fan.
That's right. Everybody just – Yeah,
they broke.
It's crazy. I was confused when I first started watching a race. I kept saying, well, they're not turning. Why aren't they turning?
You keep waiting for the turn.
I was.
It's pretty interesting. So anyway, congratulations to Undrafted, an American horse who won the Diamond Jubilee Stakes at the Royal Ascot on Saturday, the final day of the meet. And now I said at the beginning of the show, alive and well in Phoenix, Arizona, because you did not think that I was going to make it back. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I thought maybe a part of you would have a cast.
So I did my first ever, I led and taught my own cross country clinic this weekend. It's a fundraiser for the park, Coconino Horse Trials. And so I got to take a bunch of students up there there's probably about eight instructors, and they all had their own piles of students. Everybody else had a lot more than me, but you got to start somewhere. So I took my three girls up there, and we did some cross-country clinic. One of them had never, ever been on cross-country before.
No.
And she's nine. But she has ice in her veins, and so does a pony. And then the second one I took was Joe Montana, who had actually, this was the site of his victory at the pre-comp division because Jet had gone lame at the horse trial. So he'd been there before, and Rachel and the pony Jacob. So I've got this Jacob, who's this little white and gray POA. I've got Joey, who is this eternally young looking gangly little thoroughbred. And then I've got a Halflinger pony with a mane that goes down to his knees, and then me on Edward. So I'm leading this charge with all these ponies and these little guys, and it was no joke everywhere we walked, because you're on course and there's everybody else is on course too. So you're just kind of picking a set of jumps and you go to the next one. Everybody was like, oh my God, that is the cutest group ever.
Oh my. You look like the Misfits from the Lost Island of Toys.
And yes, exactly. You got all these big people with these sleek thoroughbreds. And let me paint a picture. So the Halflinger pony is trying to graze. The Joey and Jacob, they're like seasoned professionals. And Edward is running sideways. So the whole time. So spooking at tree stumps, you know, anything, like a horse gallops by, he's like, what was that? So I've got the spooky thoroughbred, the grazing pony, and the other two are just kind of hanging back. But I did start to feel bad for Joey, because everybody was like, that is the cutest little gray pony, or oh my God, look at that little pony with the mane. And finally, at some point, I'm like, I guess Joey and Edward are just chop liver? Because everybody loves a pony.
Oh, they all love pony. Oh, I just see in the group picture here. Oh, you are like the Misfit group.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. All these people on these beautiful
thoroughbreds. Oh, look, y'all have your little vests and helmets on though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we're cross country savvy. We're cross country ready.
That Halflinger is cute as a dickens. Huh?
I got to show you a different picture too, because you got to see the mane on this thing. It's longer than an
ambulance. Oh, I do see it on the right side. There.
Yeah,
it is really long. It's on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. She posted the picture.
Yeah, my little crew, let's see. So it was 9, 12, and 15. 13 and 15 are the ages of the girls. And there's me on Crazy Edward. And you know what? I get out there. The first morning, I was going to ride just by myself. And Chad got on Duke, his horse, his buckskin. I took Duke up there. And Chad met me up there after his return from being in Florida for the last couple weeks, and I posted a video of Lucas seeing Chad for the first time, and it was just, oh my God, so cute. So Chad and I are out on Duke, and we ride like just some practice Friday night, and Edward is crazy. I mean, running, spooking sideways. At this point, I'm at some point, I'm like, I needed to have his eyes checked, because he's like spookier than he used to be, and he's just getting worse. And so Saturday morning, I get on to ride, and Chad gets on Duke, and we're going out riding, and he's just spooky like crazy. He's running sideways. He's like, he doesn't buck, but he definitely does some little spin moves that can almost get me. And he just gets so upset, and he's very herd bound, and everything is scary. And I'm walking down to the cross country course, and I'm like, Chad, let me tell you something. This is it for this horse. Like, if he doesn't figure this out, I mean, we've been here for years. Like, he's ridden cross country and run cross country like 25, 35 times.
I was just going to say, is there anything redeeming about this horse?
I think this is it. I've almost fallen off twice. I'm that guy in the warm up. This horse just doesn't get any better. I'm like, if he doesn't jump well this weekend, that's it. I'm done. I'm done trying to make him a cross-country horse. He does not want to be a cross-country horse. He does not want to be an event horse. He needs to go be a hunter. He's fantastic in the ring. Make him a jumper. He likes to be he'd make a great jumper. And Chad's like, okay, whatever you think. And it's like the horse freaking heard me and understood what I said.
Don't you hate that?
God.
I mean, it's good and bad all at the same time.
He jumped better than he has ever jumped in his entire life. We were doing coffin complexes, jumping these. One of them was jump up over this thing, two strides to a ditch, a right turn to like a dark fence. And then we went to a bank and he goes up the bank, one stride off the bank. I mean, this horse was a monster on cross country. Chad was like, I've never seen that. The girls walked around with me while I was riding, and they saw the second day too. They're like, I've never seen him do that. Because he's kind of a weenie, and he just was like pulling me around the course. I swear to you, that horse understood me when I said, I'm like, this is it. I'm done. I'm done. Chad's like, you're just never having any fun. Your horses are always crazy. He's like, why are your horses always crazy? I'm like, because I buy them crazy, and I don't know. But oh my God, Edward heard me and he answered the call and he was awesome. So I posted some pictures on our Facebook page, but there's more and there's videos. There's video. This horse gallops up to the water, leaps a log, lands in the water like four strides, jumps this jump out, gallops up the hill. He was a monster out there. He was so stinking good. It was incredible. I could not believe it. Up banks, down banks. He did not stop at one fence. Did not stop. Like charged everything, but in hand and in stride. He's great at the jumps. He's a little spooky in between. Like it was like, I'm going to jump this monster jump. Tree stump. Gallop, gallop, gallop. Oh my God. There's a bird. Gallop, gallop, monster jump. I'm awesome. Land. Oh my God, there's a squirrel. You know, it was a little disconcerting in between jumps, but for the most part, he just jumped fantastic. So he lives to see another day at Flyover Farm. He has made
so he's not off to the hunter ring.
He's not off to the hunter jumper ring. He gets to stay. You know how when you do stuff like this, even just taking your horse on a long, serious trail ride where you're like navigating obstacles, there's just something that happens with your relationship where you bond. And Edward has never been very loving. He doesn't really like treats. He's sweet, but he's not Thor, the Mustang, who like puts his head on my chest and like loves me. Edward's kind of like, do you have food? Okay, I'll let you scratch
more business. Okay, don't fool around with me.
Where Jet would be like, I don't like you at all. Go away. Right. Edward's like, okay, I can let you love me. Okay, you have 30 seconds. Go. Okay. But something happened.
You dated some guys like that.
I did. Actually, they dated me. I was like, you okay?
You're gone.
All right, we're
done. 30 seconds.
30 seconds is up. Go. But something happens with your relationship with a horse like that. And at the end of the night, I'm like, oh, little widow, widow. And he's like, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, little baby. And I'm feeding him peppermints and I'm scratching his ears. And he's like leaning into it. I swear to God, that horse heard me say I was going to sell him.
We make it sound like any horse who can't do anything else goes to the hunter ring. That's what we kind of.
Well, you got to realize, too, that eventing is very emotionally and physically challenging.
Yes.
And there is something not very emotionally and physically challenging about doing a jump, counting six strides, doing another jump, making a turn, doing another jump. And it never changes, you know. So and I did hunters for 15 years. I know what I'm talking about. It is not emotionally taxing. The worst thing is, oh my God, there's a flower jump or a roll top. Ah!
Yes, or they put an extra foot in the stride.
Oh yes. God, what am I gonna do? What are we supposed to do? Did I get a flying lead changer on that turn? Oh my God, like that's your stress. That is your stress. And for some horses like Jet, that really worked out better for him. He prefers the lower stress lifestyle. Edward apparently wants to try another day. He wants to live another day as an event horse. So it was great. My kids were fantastic. The little gray pony was jumping novice. He's 13.3, and he was jumping novice fences. Joey and Abby were jumping novice fences. And then the little one who had never jumped anything, Kaylee is her name, and the pony's name is Hogan. He's a halflinger. They went out there, have never jumped anything before. And, you know, so I had them doing the little pre-comp stuff and Joey and Jacob are jumping the big stuff. And you could just see her start to get mad. I'm like, Kaylee, what is wrong? She won't talk to me. She's relatively new, so she doesn't know that she is allowed to have a mouth with me. You know? And so she's like still kind of polite. And I could just see her getting madder and madder and madder. And I'm like, okay, go jump that little log to this. Her mom came up to me later and was like, Kaylee's mad that she's not jumping the same things that the other girls are. I was like, she's never ridden cross country. These girls are 3 years ahead of her. And she's like, she just doesn't handle losing well. And she feels like she's losing. I'm like, this is not a competition. It didn't matter. Kaylee wanted to do more. So on the second day, I let her jump out of the water and jump a ditch and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, introducing horses to a ditch can go, you need to make it go very well.
Yeah, that can go sideways pretty quickly.
Really quickly. And we
literally.
We were behind a group that didn't introduce their horses to ditches very well. And, you know, when you're showing a horse a ditch, in my opinion, You need to let them look at it, let them drop their head, and do whatever they're going to do to get to the other side. Step in it, go through it. I don't care. Jump over it. Your job is to keep them straight and not pull them in the mouth. Jump this. Okay, I'm going to punish you even though you jumped it. So my thing with the girls was like, you will grab mane and you will grab mane up by their ears and you will not pull your horse in the mouth. And my gosh, that little Hogan just, I'm going to post a video of this little halflinger jumping a ditch for the first time. It's actually the second or third because I let them walk over it first. But it's the stinking cutest thing you've ever seen. Okay, so let me work on that. But right. It was a great weekend.
Well,
did
Omega Alpha help at all?
Thank God for Omega Alpha. You know what? Okay, so we've got Duke, who is 21, and as we learned by his DNA test, he's a Cleveland Bay warm blood quarter horse. So he's like 16 too. He's huge, but he's a little older. He's got a paralyzed flaps. He roars like, and we're at 7,000 feet elevation. So Duke really had to work a lot harder to kind of keep up with everybody. And it's Saturday morning or Sunday morning. We've done a full day of schooling cross country the day before. Everybody jumped except for Duke. Obviously he didn't jump anything. And I go check everybody's legs. Pony's legs are cold and tight. Pony's legs, cold and tight. Edward, cold and tight. Joey, cold and tight. Everything's all good. And I go and look at Duke, and his legs are like little tree trunks. Poor guy. Like, he didn't even jump anything. And it was just so much work for him to go up and down these hills. And, you know, he's older. So, yes, he got a big old dose of Sinuex, which is kind of helps their I gave him so many products that I need to go to Omega Alpha and to look at their website and see which ones I gave him. Because he was like, are you sticking something else down my throat?
Well, I know that, did you have to use any of the Omega Alpha product that helps with calming?
Of course. Equine Chill and Edward go hand in hand. So Duke got the Respifree to help his breathing because he can't breathe. He got the Antiflam, which is the one that really helps with the inflammation.
Did you give your husband the old crippled horse? Is that what you did?
Pretty much. He loves his old crippled horse. That horse does not spook at nothing. I mean, he galloped for him up a hill. Like he galloped him up a hill and you could hear Duke like... I'm like, okay, let's let him walk. Let him walk. So he got Antiflam. He got the Respifree. They were all on the one serving packets of Biotic 8. And Edward gets Equine Chill without a doubt. So I am if you open my tack box, I have one of those big rolling tack boxes that you put in front of the stall. Half of it is like brushes and cross country boots. The other half is all Omega Alpha. They're like, which one do you want to give him now? I'm like, the Gastro FX goes in Edward's food. He gets that. And I gave Joey that one too, just because they were a little tense, you know, when the shipping up there. And then, okay, well, the Antiflam, we're going to have to give that to Duke right now because he's a little swollen in the ankles. And then, wait, everybody gets a Biotic A. So, yeah, I'm kind of a walking commercial for Omega Alpha when I go places. That and the dang shaking fork. Everybody's like, I'm the most popular person between the shaking fork and the Omega Alpha.
You know how they say if you're single and you want to meet people, you bring your dog, because you know if you're single and you want to meet people and you're a horse person, you're going to a show, bring your shaking fork. You don't need a dog.
So, or
everybody has a dog there.
I share my Omega Alpha stuff with everybody. You know, I'm like, oh, is your horse this? Oh, you tried this. And they'll go, what is it? I'm like, it's all natural herbal. It doesn't test. You're fine. It's really great stuff. And they use it. You know, like I gave an Equine Chill tube to another girl who was having a stressful time. And I never actually caught back up with her, but I saw a message her on Facebook and see how it worked. But I love that stuff. I mean, it's just peace of mind, you know, just a little peace of mind. Joey might have got some day one, too. I didn't tell his rider, though.
Did you give any to your students, or you just slip it in their breakfast?
Yeah, right.
A little Equine Chill.
I didn't want to calm their excitement. They were so excited. None of them were nervous. They were just ready to do it. It was a good weekend, a great weekend.
Well, good. I'm glad it all worked out. OmegaAlphaEquine.com is where you can find all of those products that Jamie was just talking about. Well, now we're going to head off to Kentucky. and we're going to head to the Kentucky Horse Park. We have a couple of guests coming up. We have Captain Lisa Rakes of the Kentucky Horse Park Mounted Unit and Mindy Welsh, who's the education supervisor over there. And I know, Captain Lisa, that you were just on the dressage show, weren't you?
I was.
With our friend Reese.
Yes, you guys actually let me come back, too.
Yeah, you were on with us before, weren't you?
No, I think this is my first time? With
okay.
Reese.
Yep. Yeah, very good. Well, Reese, obviously, we love Reese, and she's a good friend of ours as well. Well, you guys do the Kentucky Horse Park Mounted Unit. Tell us about the mounted unit, what it is, and what they do.
We're a little unique here at the horse park. We enforce the laws at any state law. We're capable of enforcing, as well as patrolling the grounds of the horse park. What's unique about us is that
wait a minute.
We also
so you could arrest Jamie if she got out of hand at the horse park?
We could. We don't like to.
Okay.
Yes,
that would never happen. Never.
And if she parks between the barns, yes, she will get a ticket. So that's another big no-no here at the horse park.
Serious crimes.
But the unique thing about us is that we can keep law and order, so to speak, from horseback as well as in our vehicles.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that you had the powers of really a kind of the same as a state policeman, right?
Yep. We're state certified. We just look at it that our city is here at the horse park. Our jurisdictional boundaries are the horse park. We really don't have any law enforcement power outside of that unless we're special deputized and sworn in.
Do you get trained at the academy? Do you go to the academy?
Yep, we go through state training at the Department of Criminal Justice in Richmond.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't realize that. Well, and Mindy, now you guys do have, how many horses do you have as part of the program there for the mounted unit?
We have 8 horses, and then we recently got the 3 foals in.
Okay, cool. Tell us about those. That's what caused Jennifer to find, and then we saw the pictures, and it was like, oh my God, we have to have them on. We've had, I believe in the past, we have had the people from Last Chance, this was years ago, Last Chance Corral, who were out of Ohio. We've had them on in the past, but when we saw the pictures of you guys and your foals, tell us what that was all about.
Well, finding a perfect police horse that is of the size, the temperament, and the health that you need is unfortunately very hard to find, especially without a pretty hefty price tag, as you want them to be calm and cool and usually a little bit bigger. That way the full-grown tall men can fit on them without looking like they're way too big for their pony. So we decided to branch out and see if we could get the foals and start them young, start them from the ground up.
Oh,
that
wow.
way we have all of the training that they have is everything that we've put to them. So we've already had mattresses out there. We've had balls. We've had tarps and get it to them young. So by the time they're old enough to ride, it's no big deal.
Now, and these foals were nursemare foals or were they Premarin? What was the story with them?
They were nursemare foals from Last Chance Corral in Athens, Ohio. They're one of many that go through that adoption center.
And when you get them, are they halter broke and are they, you know, handled at that point?
These guys that we got were not. They were only at Last Chance Corral for about 3 days. The big draft crosses usually are a hot item and they go pretty quickly. So, as soon as we found out they were coming in, we got right on it because they would have been adopted within days.
I was just going to ask you what kind they were.
They're all draft crosses. 2 are a spotted draft cross, and one is red and white, and one is solid dark bay, and then the other one's a Percheron cross.
And they got. I'm looking at the picture here, and a couple of them have some really nice chrome. I love the stripes. They're so cute.
They, I think, will be very handsome. They were completely unhandled when we got them. We taught them how to halter, how to lead, which was pretty entertaining.
I got to tell you, the one picture of them spooning is hilarious. That's just so cute.
They do love each other. They definitely are pretty bonded.
So now when, you know, so you've already started really desensitizing them at this point. And will you continue to do that on a regular basis now until they get to be 3-4 years old?
Oh, yes. We will work. Really, if you think about it, every experience you have with your horse, you're training it, either good or bad. So every time we are around them, we're teaching them, or they are teaching us. Sometimes it's that way, something. So when we go get them out of their stalls, we want them to be respectful. We want them to stand quietly. We're already teaching them to lower their head, even though we are big enough that they don't need to lower their head. We don't want to wait till they're 16, 17 hands high to try to teach them to put their head down for us short people, us 5'2 size folks, to be able to get the halter on them. So then, you know, they learn to stand with their head down, stand quietly while we put the halter on them. They're learning to stand quietly for fly spray, picking their feet up. We're already working on, obviously we don't have to really do anything with their feet right now, but it's, again, something we want to teach them now so that when they are big and massive, we don't have a big struggle on our hands. When we take them from their stalls to their turnout, right now we keep them up at nighttime because we are tiny. We just don't feel comfortable leaving them out overnight alone. So we'll put them up at night. And then when we turn them out in the mornings, we usually take them for a small walk. So again, we want them to walk quietly beside us. We don't want them to pull against the rope or race around in front of us. So we're working on that. What was cool the other day, we had the rodeo out here at the horse park. So when the rodeo traffic was out, we have to direct traffic too as part of our duties. So when the rodeo traffic was out, we had still had our whistles on. So when we went up to do their nightly feeding, we blew the whistle around. So they were getting already desensitized to some noises like that. The trailer, we're still working on. You know, it's never too early. People wait till the horse is 2 years old and they get ready to sell it before they ever try to put it in the trailer. So they're already walking in quietly to the trailer and standing by themselves. We're teaching them to respect their space. We're teaching them to come off pressure. If I put my thumb or my fingertips against their hip, I expect him to move away from that pressure just a touch. So we're working on that. The same thing for backing up. If I put my fingertips on his nose or his face and I want him to yield back, we're working on coming off that pressure. So never too early. We don't want to do anything strenuous, of course, but we do want them to learn the respect of the human.
Jamie, you there? Oh, I thought Jamie was there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had my mic turned off. I was listening away.
I put her to sleep. I can't do that.
No, I was typing, so I didn't want anybody to hear me. I was asking because I think we have Mindy on the line as well, right, Lisa?
Yep.
And Mindy is the education supervisor. Now, all of those things that Lisa was just telling us that they're training. Now, do you guys employ a special trainer's method? Have you developed kind of your own method? Mindy, do you know the answer to that?
We kind of take a little bit of everybody, of what works for the specific horse. More of a natural horsemanship background.
Okay.
But a little bit from everybody and even each other. To see what works for those individual horses.
Gotcha. Because I'm a huge Monty Roberts fan, and I was listening to a lot of the off to pressure and the things, and he's got a lot of manuals on training foals, and didn't know if you guys employed that, or kind of sounds very John Lyons-y too. And two people that I just totally respect. So very cool that you guys are doing that. Now, what made you guys decide that we want Nurse Mare foals? And did you understand how viral you guys were going to go?
Well, that will be cool to see their progress. And
we keep saying, and we haven't done it yet, but we're going to do it this week, is that we want to take a picture of them. We want to line them up in front of, say, our police truck and take a picture of them now when they're, I think they're seven. Mindy, how old are they again?
One is a little over 3 months. One's a little over 2 months. And then the wee man is a month and a half.
By the way, Jamie, but judging by the pictures I've seen, Mindy has not left their stall yet. She's calling right now from the stall. She sleeps in the stall. It's just all pictures of her in the stall.
Mindy, are you guys still bottle feeding them? I mean, they're so young.
They're the two bigger ones, Yukon, which is the red and white pinto, and Oslo, which is the big dark bay one. They're not unmilked, but the little Tuva, and I call him Wee Man because he's the wee one, he still gets milk out of a bucket. He was taught to drink out of a bucket before we got him.
That's nice that they do
so
that.
So he still needs it for a little bit longer. He's definitely getting better and feeling a little bit more frisky.
So Mindy is the one who's hasn't left the stall with the horses. And are you like kind of a proud mom where everything, like a person that has a new baby on their Facebook page, all they do
go to her Facebook page, you'll see.
Is Facebook okay, yeah. Are you that girl with the horses?
Yes. I am definitely that girl. I try to, you know, refrain from doing too much of it, but I am definitely that type of person with all the babies and some of my other guys that I work with. I'm definitely a very proud mama, and I like to put it out there for sure.
So here's what I did. Listen, because I adopted a Mustang and I'm totally obsessed, I just made him his own page and he gets to post his own, because my non-horse friends were like, really? Another picture of ground horse? Really? So maybe you can make them their own Facebook page since they're going viral and we can follow them along.
That might be a good idea instead of, like you said, posting so many that your non-horse friends are kind of like, okay.
They're unfollowing you.
It was you at first.
Look like another horse picture.
I'm pretty sure that's all of my pictures.
Okay. Good to know.
Hey, Captain Lisa, what did you talk about over on Dressage this last week?
We talked about just how to help... help the dressage horse, maybe when you go to the show and he's really up, how to calm him down, how to, you know, with Reese on getting the horse used to going in and out of the trailer calmly, so that when it does come time to go to the show, you're not running around frantic, spending an hour trying to load him in. And really with her horse, we started working with him, or with her when she was pretty young. And took her all the way through to, I think she's 3 years of age now. So now the horse is going under saddle and is in training and is doing well, I believe.
I got a pony I need to send to you.
Yeah.
Ponies, now wait, they're a different breed.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, this is...
our foals, we still are in the process of naming them. So we have their own little pet names. Mindy calls her little guy Wee, or Wee Man. And I don't think he's got any hair left on his nose because she's kissed it all away.
Don't judge.
We won't.
You would get that face too.
Well, congratulations, guys. I think this is very exciting. Jennifer posted a link to the article from the Kentucky Horse Park website, and that is kyhorsepark.com. And if you want to see the pictures that we were talking about, you can just go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning and find the link right there. Good luck with these guys. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we love the Kentucky Horse Park, and you know, we got to get a picture of Jamie in handcuffs next time we're there. Can we arrange that, Captain Lisa?
I will most definitely arrange that.
Okay, that'll go viral too, I think. I think we can take care of that. Is being drunk on the premises one of the requirements? Because, you know, I've been to Rolex, and there's been a few drunk people there at Rolex. I'm just saying.
Sometimes we just try to
ignore it.
Yeah. Certain people.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. You know when they really need to be there is when the Arabian Nationals is there. Those guys set up bars in the barns.
Do they really?
They do. They set up these elaborate displays and barns in the bars. There's full complete bars with like 100 bottles, and they make mixed drinks. It's
well,
crazy.
They're not doing anything wrong.
No.
It's just the idiots that they need to be in the parking lot
that's
waiting
right.
for those stumbling people to go that's open right. their car door and then boom.
I was
them.
Just kidding, Captain Lisa, because how many crimes go on at the Kentucky Horse Park, do you think?
I was thinking those must be the most bored police officers
on the planet.
That's
what I was kind of thinking, too. Although, you know, it's full of people all the time, so I'm sure little things are happening all the time. You know, the hunter jumpers practically live there for 4 months. Yeah, there's probably little things that go on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to ask her about that because I figured she wouldn't answer anyways. These babies are really, really cute. Well, good
they
for
are.
Them. You know, you don't hear about mounted police of any kind getting baby horses. You always hear about them getting, you know, adult horses that are fairly well broke to begin with.
And they did go super viral. I mean, it was like shared a billion times. It was, I mean, it was so cute. And those guys ran up to Last Chance Corral to get them. I mean, if you want to spend some time with a baby and you know what you want to get, go to Last Chance Corral. It is a great organization where they know the breeds, they know what they are, and these foals need homes. And if you look at the pictures, Last Chance Corral, they'd be like the barn, and there's 40 babies just walking around. You know, time of the year, they just walk around and they're looking for adoption. A lot of them are gated. A lot of them are draft crosses. A lot of them make great fox hunting horses. You know, so go check it out, Last Chance Corral.
Very good. Well, let's take a break for our sponsor, Equestrian Collections, followed by our song of the day. Which
and
is
then I want to hear about you. Apparently, Scooter was your pony. Does need to go to the Mounted
yes,
Police.
He does. I wasn't kidding. I need to send him there for desensitization training. We'll hear about that in a minute. Ugh. Well, I have Debbie back here from Equestrian Collections with the product of the week.
This week I wanted to feature a product that I think you need to get for your 4th of July parties and celebrations. It is the Trail of Painted Ponies Freedom Reigns figurine. I was looking around for something that would be patriotic to remind you guys of, and this is just so cute, and I think it would make an excellent centerpiece for your barbecue. Plus, it's a great collector's piece. Everybody collects those Trails of Painted Ponies stuff. This guy he's kind of painted blue, and he has an American flag on him, Statue of Liberty. There's a little picture of the Capitol building on him. So he's one of those painted ponies that are specific for different that you would want for different holidays. And I was thinking with the 4th of July coming up that this one would be perfect. And it's less than $50, but not by much. They're not inexpensive, but they are collector's items. So keep that in mind and how pretty this would look on your holiday table.
You can find it just by going to Equestrian Collections, and you can search for Painted Ponies Freedom, and it'll come up, or just search for Painted Ponies, and you can see all the selections there. There's a lot of painted ponies.
Ooh, whoa, ooh, whoa. think we disappeared. I got a mason jar full of something clear. So take a swig and chase it back with a beer. We got the moonlight, sipping on a good time. We're going all night, that's what I'm talking about. We got that sweet buzz, radio is cranked up. This thing is all ours, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody's got their party on. Everybody's getting till the get is gone. We got the moonlight, sipping on a good time. We're going all night, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
You are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And that is Stephanie Quayle. That's what I'm talking about. What a good song. It was super fun. I was kind of dancing along. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. I said that, but we are brought to you today by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. I'm moving around, but I'm a little sore. My neck hurts, arms hurt, my thighs hurt, my calves hurt, my back hurts. I'm like an old lady out there. Gosh, when did that happen? Well, are you a little bit sore? I hear you had an epic pony adventure this past weekend.
My little pony.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I did have a little bit of an adventure. My arms aren't sore. They're longer than they were on Friday.
Oh, no.
I gained about an inch on my arms. You know, we've been to about twice a week. I drive Scooter, who is my, for new listeners, he's a rescued Hackney pony. When I got him, he was a starving case, and now he's a fat, happy Hackney.
And he calls him my little pony all the time, just like he almost did right there. Yes. And he's like, oh, that's my little pony.
I try and correct and that. But
so,
but
he had to make the sound.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he's really good at steering and, you know, following commands when I'm driving him, except that he spooks and he has these little what we call BBs, which are baby bolts, but they can also be big bolts. See, BB works both ways.
thanks for
So you know, we a lot most I'd say 95% of the time he's good, but there are certain sounds that get him, and one of the sounds is like crinkling leaves in the woods. So if a horse is coming through the woods, and we live in an equestrian community where there's lots of woods, so when we're out driving around the roads, you might hear a horse coming through the woods. And that sound will get him. Certain sounds, like one of the things we're working on with him is we put a bunch of rocks in a bucket and you shake it. The sound of a cellophane balloon going. We discovered a new one over the weekend. So we're driving him twice a week, and then once a week we bring him out to the arena and we work on desensitization. So I ground drive him with his blinkers on, with his half his harness on. I'm ground driving him because it's actually a little bit safer when we're actually introducing all of these sounds and visual things and stuff. So we go in and I drive him into the ring. And the first time we did it, you know, first couple times, we didn't shut the gate to the arena. And I said to Jennifer this time, why don't you just shut the gate? That makes more sense. If he gets away on me, then we can, you know, he doesn't go anywhere. Well, we get in there and he's pretty good. Now, we have neighboring horses that are it's the double fences, and they're in the field right behind the arena. So there's this new horse. They have some kind of walking horse or mountain, Kentucky mountain horse or something. Comes down to the fence and investigates. He's cute as a Dickens. And Beak or PT Scooter has seen him a lot of times. So he checked him out and decided he was okay. Well, we're in and we did the rocks. We did all the things we had done the last time. And he was really good about it. Didn't even notice him. So Jennifer introduced
the bubble machine.
Jennifer introduced the bubble machine. You know, one of those things you blow bubbles with that does it automatically. Well, you know, he even got through that pretty good. I mean, he figured out the bubbles weren't going to eat him and they probably just smelled funny more than anything. And then she had a flag on a stick. Then we started the old flag on the stick like all of the trainers do. So she had this flag and she's waving around and he didn't seem to care about the flag. Well, we turned and I was going away from Jennifer and one horse did care about the flag and it was the neighbor horse. As she started waving that flag around, that horse took off at a dead gallop up his field. Well, apparently Scooter heard that and decided to take off at a dead gallop also. He bolted and this time I stuck with him for about 15 yards, and I knew at that point that my feet were going out, and I was going to end up, you know, face first in the sand.
In the cowboy movies where, like, the horse gallops along the plains, and the rider's got his foot in the stirrup, you mean drug?
I was going to be drug. I was not stopping this pony, and there was nothing going to happen but bad things. So I just let him go, and thank God he headed right to the gate, right to the exit, and was going to head back to the barn, but we had closed it this time. So thank God we had done that. What I was worried about him, you know, driving reins are fairly long. So I was worried about him getting those driving reins caught up in something and actually hanging himself.
I never worry about that. I'm like, don't break my rein! Hang yourself, but by God, don't break the leather.
So that is the first time that he's gotten away from me. And it was not anything Jennifer was doing. It was the horse next door galloping away. And I just could not bring him down. But he is definitely not safe for prime time yet. That is for sure.
He's got I need to teach you something that all riders do. If this situation happens, or at least it's what, you know, one of the first things you're taught as a rider is if your horse goes to take off, not when it's in a dead gallop already, you got to be pretty quick. But when a horse spooks and goes to bolt, pull one rein.
Yeah, he is so fast that he was,
he is a stinking 12-hand pony and you are a six-foot-two grown-ass man.
Ask Jennifer. Now, I'm on the ground, remember. If I'd been in the cart, I'm not sure what would have happened.
I don't think you can pull one rein when that happens. See, but could you just let go of the right rein and hold on the left rein and turn his ass around? Excuse me. I get so mad with
the hard part. Yeah, the hard part when you're driving is the reins go from the bit to the saddle. So when they turn around, they see you and they back up because there's rein pressure and they're backing away from you, which creates more rein pressure. It can be done when you're ground driving, but it is mighty tricky to do. Mighty tricky indeed. Because the second they turn around, you have to basically let go of the pressure.
Okay. Because and then he goes back, to bolt again and pull the rein again. And then he goes to bolt again, pull the rein again. So just keep pulling it. I mean, just coming up with suggestions here. I'm sick of this pony doing this stuff to you. I mean, not like I have some magic thing, but can you run him into a fence? I mean,
well, that's what happened. The fence stopped him. You know, if I'd been in the cart, I might have been okay. One of the nice things is because of the weight ratio, it would be hard for him to turn the cart over, you know, making a sharp turn. It's going to, if I'm in it and the cart, weight of the cart and everything, we're probably, whereas if it was a draft horse, he could turn the cart easy. You know, he's going to have a tough time turning the cart. Although, you know, he made a tight turn when he hit that fence. He might have, it might have swung it around. I don't know. But God I wasn't in it in that case. Because that was probably the hardest bolt that he has ever done.
Let me tell you something. This whole driving thing is dumb. You just get it set. My God, it's ridiculous.
There's a reason people ride.
Yeah. There's a reason we sit on the horses. Jennifer and I are smarter than you. You think, oh, I'll just drive a nice little pony and it's trying to kill you worse than Edward's trying to kill me on cross country.
Well, so that's my story.
I think it needs earplugs. I think that's our next step. Earplugs.
Well, American Pharoah wears them if it's not too bad.
You know, I have thought about trying them because it is the sounds that get them. It's not so much anything visual. We have driven him up to, well, I told you, a street sweeper was coming down the road. One of those like you see in the city because they were working on our roads and they were sweeping them up after. And you know what those are like. They're like pony eating machines. He didn't care at all. He doesn't care about equipment, about bulldozers, about steamrollers. We've had him around all that stuff doing the roads here. Nothing. He just, it's those
galloping horses.
It's galloping horses.
Gonna die.
And those leaf sounds that just get him. I don't know. I certainly am not bringing him to a parade anytime soon.
I think you do. You lead him through a parade and let him hear all that crap and just freak out, but have like the dually halter on him, you know, and just be like, go ahead. Be an idiot. I'm not letting
Maybe
you go.
I need to start driving him in the dually halter. What do you think?
Yeah,
there you go.
The bit's not working. Maybe we should try the dually halter. We'll see if that works.
Attach the reins to the side. That's how I started Thor. Although Thor did run away with me, but he's got a giant head.
Yeah,
so.
Well, Thor could run away with anything.
I know. Take that head and neck and go my own direction, whether you like it or not, woman.
Yeah, so that's my story. That's what happened with poor Scooter. You know, he's so darn... He's like our cat. They're a lot alike, the two of them. He's so darn cute and adorable 99% of the time, except when he's trying to, in our cat's case, either scratch your face off, or in the pony's case, either bolt to us into the next county.
You know what you need to do? Obviously, you need to have a conversation with Jennifer, with him around, going, you know, if he bolts one more time, I'm going to sell him.
That's it. You know what I need to do is I need to fly him out to your training clinic with Monty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's what I need to do.
You know what sounds like more? The Monty can fix anything, but I would send him to the horse park. He needs to go to that mounted police
true.
Training.
That's true. That's exactly what he needs. And that's what we've been trying to do. Is we've been just trying to, you know, just introduce all. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make, you're going to love this. People under the age of 20 won't even know what this is. I'm going to make a mixtape. So I'm going to have horses galloping. I'm going to have loud music. I'm going to, you know, put pauses in between. I'm going to make a mixtape. I'm going to bring the big speakers out and I'm going to have my phone and my player and I'm going to do a mixtape. What do you think?
I think that'd be genius. And just make sure My Little Pony is in there somewhere.
But I think a mixtape is going to be a good one. We'll see.
Man. Hey, I've got a news story for you. And it's kind of, it's a great ending to a very sad beginning. And do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's about a racehorse. And so there's this horse named Archie's Echo. He is 26 years old. He's a thoroughbred. He's one eye. And I have questions about this because I know you're are from this area. He was rescued from New Holland, and that is a horse sale, right?
Yes, that's the one where that's you know was known as being the killer sale.
So why are horses still being auctioned? I thought slaughter was illegal, and I thought we had put an end to this. And why are horses still being sold for slaughter?
Well, they're not being slaughtered here. They're being slaughtered in Canada and Mexico.
So they're being bought at auctions here and being
shipped.
Taken.
Yep.
Oh my God. I just can't stand this stuff. Anyway, so there's a horse named Archie's Echo, and he raced in the late 90s in New England, 26 years old. Again, one eye, bone, skin and bones. And he ends up at the sale. Well, somebody that works with an organization called Turning for Home, Danielle Montgomery was there, and she looked around, found it was a Loretta Lindemann. All these women were involved in this whole thing. They looked at the horse. They pulled up the lip tattoo. They could get about half of it, and they called the director of the Turning for Home. And a superior named Michael Blazy. And I guess they have worked with Parks Racetrack before. At any rate, the guy was like, pull the horse, get him, pull him. Before they'd even figured out who he was, he's like, it's a thoroughbred. He ran at Parks, like, pull him, we'll take care of it. So they pull this horse out of the sale, and guess where he is going to go live? 26 years old, one eye. Didn't have like some amazing career. He didn't win any stakes races. He just ran a long time. He is going to, okay, Goosey's, he's going to old friends. And he's going to go with old friends. And Michael Blowen, the director, this is just where the story becomes good. I'm going to get a little choked up. The director, Michael Blowen of Old Friends, said, goes, we got a check from Bob Baffert for $50,000. So we have some breathing room. And because of that funding, it made us possible to give Archie's Echo a home.
Oh, oh cool.
That's, I get a little choked cool. up. So with this poor horse who has had this, who sends their old horse to slaughter? Seriously?
Well, that's, ugh. Yeah. I
mean, a poor guy. He's had
a lot
this
of them every year.
Long life, and somebody just says, just send him to slaughter. Who knows what he's been doing? Nobody knows anything. I don't know who had him. I don't know who sent him there, but he's going to live with Game On Dude and Silver Charm at Old Friends.
Well, that's a pretty good life.
Yeah, but how long did it take him to get there? I just think it's such a great story, and I got a little choked up with Michael Blow and say he got the money because of American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown, and I'm going to just move on. I need a moment.
Well, I have another story here for you, too. There's this Vietnam veteran, and this is in, I believe it was in Ohio, if I remember right. I'm trying to see here. I don't have the area it was in, but this is Vietnam veteran that has two horses, and he brings riderless horses to funerals to honor veterans. You know how they do the riderless horse sometimes with the boot in the stirrup? Well, he is the one that supplies the horses, his horses, for the veterans' funerals. Well, he was supposed to go to the funeral of a guy who was in World War II. And as we know, there's not too many of those left, right? They're all in their 90s, I think, that are. He usually trailers to the cemetery and does that. Well, his trailer broke down the night before the funeral. And the people, he called the people and they said, well, just don't worry about it. You know, the family said, it's okay, don't worry about it. Well, he was an Iwo Jima survivor from World War II. And he said, I'm not going to let this veteran down. So he actually, I don't know if he didn't have a friends with the trailer or what, but he started walking. He took the two horses and started walking 15 miles.
Wow.
To where this funeral is overnight. Well, apparently a police pulled up and said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm walking, and explained what he was doing. Well, the police gave an escort. Now, why the police didn't know anybody with a trailer, I'm not sure. But he ended up walking, getting to town where the funeral was. And this guy named Ken Yavis, who works at the New York Pickle Deli. Oh, this was in Connecticut. That's right. Because I thought, where do they have a New York Pickle Deli in Connecticut? This guy sees him out the window and goes, well, I have a trailer. Why is he walking those horses? I've seen him in town doing funerals before. And he went out and talked to him and he explained what happened. He had just walked 15 miles. And the guy said, look, I'll come get you. You have a couple hours. You can hang out with the horses at my farm and I'll bring you back. And that's what he did. He went and got his trailer. He left work, went and got his trailer, took him out to the farm, let him hang out and get some rest before the funeral. They did the funeral and then this guy drove him home. But is that dedication for this veteran to walk 15 miles with two horses so he could attend this funeral because the guy was a World War II veteran?
That's amazing.
It's just really cool. Well,
why
really
are you cool making story. Me cry again? I just got over the last
Sorry.
One.
Sorry. Let me see. Do I have any stories that aren't going to make you cry? Oh, I got one. You know, we talk about it every year. The man versus the horse in England, where they have the race, where it's a marathon, and all of these runners set out, and then 15 minutes later... I got to tell Jennifer something here. Kristen is telling me that sometimes her cell will not receive calls. So I'm going to give her the number and she's going to give you a call, okay?
So this man versus horse thing, let me just point out that I just started reading the story and it is total crap because the men get to go first and the horses have a 15-minute delay.
However, the reason they do that is for safety, but they time them both. So that what happens is it's for safety. So the runners take off and then the horses take off, but they're timed. So it's all.
Oh, so it's not there. It's not who crosses the finish line first.
No. However, you know, you would think in a marathon that horses would pass the runners and be way ahead of them. Well, that's not the case. There was a guy who stayed in front of the horses and came in first. He came in like 2 hours and 25 minutes in this marathon. But now he had a 15 minute head start on the horses. So a horse did come in after him, but the horses never caught him. And a horse did come in after him and beat him by 5 minutes.
Okay.
So a horse won this year, but it's not by much. And what was interesting is you would think that the horse could just whoop him, right? I mean, that this would be no...
This is 26.2 miles, right? I mean, this is like...
Yes. And that's what they explained, is that horses sweat different, that actually a runner, a human runner, has the advantage over a horse. Now, you would think, you know, that would not be the case. And I don't think that would be the case at all. After all, we've been using horses for years as transportation, right? Well, this 30-year-old civil servant named Hugh Agolin almost beat the horses time. There was only a 5-minute difference. So there you go. I mean, it really is. And he did say that, you know, I'm still faster than 46 out of 50 horses. Apparently, yeah. Four horses ended up beating him. But they say horses sweat different. They move different. They actually take breaks more often than the runners. I just thought it was an interesting article.
Maybe as humans, we can torture ourselves, but it's not fair to torture the horses.
But they, you know, every year they do this race. Now, the horses have come in first every year, but not by much. It's very closer than you would think.
That's, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, now that didn't make you cry, right? You're okay
nope.
now?
All right, don't care.
Good. All right, good.
Don't care. Torture yourself all you want. I hope the horses were okay.
Yes, the horses are fine. Hey, for an endurance race, 26 miles is nothing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And I'm sure they had plenty of places for them to stop and be checked and veterinary, whatever.
Well, Jennifer has located her, so let's do this.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Leslie Wiley is now in another part of the world, and we get to talk to Kristen Kovach again, the managing editor of Horse Nation. Hey, Kristen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I'm glad we could finally get through. Sometimes myself, for whatever reason, just don't receive any calls in the house, so that's a lot of fun.
You got to put your phone by the window and
AT&T.
No,
Verizon, which is usually pretty good, but not here. I don't know.
Ooh, don't know. That's like the first time anybody's ever said Verizon.
I know, it's usually AT&T.
Putting the pressure on.
Hey, Jamie, you weren't here at the end of last week's show because I think your child was acting up. But one of the things that old Kristen threw in here at the end of the show was that she's getting married in a couple of weeks. Now, it's
Woo!
2 weeks now, right?
Yes. Yep, I should preface this by saying it's July 4th, so, you
Ooh,
know,
okay.
We thought we'd go big, I guess.
Yeah, you're
go big!
Yeah, might as well go out with some fireworks.
Literally.
So now, is it a horsey wedding?
Well, no, it's kind of. I should say, we're not going to put horses in the wedding, and I thought of a few good reasons why, because I figured everybody would be like, oh,
fireworks?
God,
fireworks,
number
one?
Yeah, fireworks are number one. Number two is that, the day seems like it's going to be kind of stressful enough on its own, so I probably don't need to worry about ushering horses in at all. And Eric and my horses are not necessarily good wedding candidates either, so so I think with the amount of stress it would take to get them ready to go, it would just not really be worth
Plus,
it.
Plus, so I assume you've read your own website, horsenation.com, which posts all the videos of weddings not going well with horses.
Exactly. Yep. And that was pretty much the nail in the coffin on the horse. When I saw that, I was like, no. I think Leslie called them 1,000-pound wrecking balls. So that's awesome. And, you know, my father-in-law-to-be offered to drive the Percherons and drive us in, but then I figured he'd kind of be stuck holding the horses the whole time and wouldn't necessarily be able to enjoy the ceremony. So we figured it was just going to be easier. It's the 4th of July. There's a lot of out-of-town folks already coming to the area. So,
you know, it's hard to watch. It's hard to walk the bride down the aisle with the bride in one hand and a Percheron in the other. It's just difficult.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my dad is, he supports the horse thing, but he's not really a big horseman, so the idea of him trying to, you know, lead me down the aisle would just, he'd be run over horses. It would just not be a good day. So what we are going to do is the place where we're getting married is at the barn where we store our show wagon, so we're going to roll that out, and it's in the blue and white colors that we're going with. So, you know, we'll still have
Wait a minute.
Horses.
You are getting married at a barn.
Yes, it's an old barn, not currently housing any animals. So, you know, we're getting married on an old farm. The wagon will be there. So, you know, there'll be, you know, a little taste of horses, but not all
that. Are we having
a
hoedown for a reception then?
What I'm telling guests is that it's a 4th of July party. We just happen to be getting married at it. So, you know, we're at the lake. We'll be canoeing and probably a little bit of dancing, barbecue, fireworks. Sparklers.
So it is a hoedown, basically.
You know, I don't know. I used to go square dancing. I worked out at a ranch in Wyoming. We went square dancing every Tuesday at the bar, and that was probably about as close as I ever got.
Yeah.
It's a workout.
It is. It's true. It's true. Well, congratulations,
so, yeah, so
and good luck
Thank
here.
You.
I assume that, is there a big honeymoon planned? And we always ask this question, too. Is there a honeymoon planned, and are there horses in the honeymoon plan?
There's no horses there at the plan in the moment. Let's see, we're going to Grand Cayman at the end of July. And last year when I was down in Grand Cayman, I actually reviewed one of the horseback riding places for Horse Nation and talked a little bit about the challenges of what it was like to be keeping horses on a tiny island that's really remote in the Caribbean. So that was kind of an interesting experience. Probably I don't know if we'll necessarily go riding while we're there, but maybe we'll just enjoy a week away from our horses. Not that there's anything wrong with them. Just,
no, girl, I get it. When we were doing a honeymoon planning, I was like, no horses. I'm good. Like, yes. I love doing horse
we need
stuff
a chance
on vacation.
To eliminate farmers, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to just even up a little bit. Okay. Even up the tan.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I get a chance to get the white legs out in the sun for a little bit.
Now, what?
And then come back and see when we get home.
So, yeah, exactly. Since Leslie's been gone, jumping into this, you guys did an article on the animated horse in the movies, of like Disney movies and Pixar movies. Tell us a little bit about that article.
Yeah, I wrote that from the point of view of the horse in the movie. And that was actually kind of a sequel. I did one a couple weeks ago that was just I Am the Horse in the family film. Uh-huh. So this is I Am the Horse in the animated film. And let's see, I haven't watched a lot of animated films recently, but enough to get the gist that, you know, the horses are always, let's see, first of all, they have eyebrows, which is not quite accurate, which I think is funny because, you know, obviously to us as horse people, we can read all the emotions and expressions on our horses' faces, but the average moviegoer apparently cannot. So they add eyebrows and teeth. They smile.
I never noticed it's that like, before.
I've just ruined the animated film.
You
for
did.
You.
Now I'm going to be doing is looking at their eyebrows.
The magic is gone. The magic is gone.
Now,
yes, you know, and let's see, they jump on and they gallop away. They never have to be warmed up or cooled down. They're basically like big dogs that you ride.
And yeah, like I love the memes you've got in here, the little videos. It's you've got Spirit and Brave and Tangled all represented here. And you're right. They just get on and they gallop away. The horses are always already tacked up or
yes,
like
they live in their saddle.
Yeah, they live in their tack. And like Maximus, they can just these amazing feats of strength. I think Spirit is the one that like rolled down a hill in a fire. And then Maximus was saving the princess and jumped from building top to building top, the most amazing feats ever, and can sit like a dog.
Yeah. I remember in Mulan, I think they lift Mulan and her horse up a cliff with like an arrow and a piece of rope. And I'm like, that's amazing. Mostly the tack, I think, because she's sitting in the saddle and holding on. So she's very strong. Her saddle is made of steel or something. But
yeah,
you know, I give the animators a lot of credit because all the horses are pretty accurate to the setting that they're in. Which is something, I mean, you could really go off on a thesis about that. But, you know, like, Khan and Mulan actually looked like a horse in a Chinese silk painting just come to life, which I thought was actually kind of cool. In Frozen, you know, they have the Fjord horse because that's supposed to take place in Norway or some Scandinavian region. Yeah. So, you know, to their credit, they do a good job with that. But then they also have eyebrows. So.
I'm disappointed, right? Though. You forgot the most important equid ever.
Uh-oh.
The donkey in Shrek.
I mean, that one's totally accurate. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think so, too. I have seen donkeys do all of those things. I have.
Yeah, so, you know, that one, that was the thing that set the rule. So, you know.
Did he have a name? Even though they just called him Donkey, didn't they?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he was Donkey.
Donkey.
Yeah, Donkey. That's right.
Donkey. Now, another one you guys had is texts from a horse show dad. Explain this one.
That one, a reader sent in, she was like, I don't know if you can do anything with these, but these are hilarious texts I get from my dad. And it was timely for Father's Day. So we put in texts from reader Alexander Scott's dad, and he attended years and years worth of horse shows to support his daughter and just never quite figured out what was going on. So he texts her a lot of, like, oh, here's a good horse for sale for $300 on Craigslist. She's like, cool, Dad. and she is a Western rider, and he continually sends her lots of hunt feet and hunter jumper stuff. She's like, thanks, Dad. I still ride Western, you know. And, you know, he's still very supportive throughout the fact that he doesn't seem to know what's going on. So the last is actually a Facebook post she puts up, like, here's my daughter making it look easy. Look how far she's come when she was 2 years old on a pony. So even though he doesn't know what's going on, he's very supportive of his daughter, and it's just very heartwarming and funny to read the text conversations between them about the various Craigslist horses he finds.
He sent her a text message that said, I was at the festival downtown and I saw the sidewalk art and made me think of you. And she's a Western rider, and it's a photograph of an English rider jumping. And I was trying to think of, like, the opposite of that. It's like, oh, I thought of you. And it would be like a picture of my dad sending me a sliding stop. You know, like, oh, thanks, Dad. Or Tennessee walking horse with the big, you know, shoes on. Like, oh, okay.
Right, yeah,
thanks.
Like, how many hunting riders get weird Western crap from their family? Like, I bought you this cowboy hat.
It's a horse. Thanks, I mean, that's right. That's all I think is it's a horse. There's a horse in the picture.
Exactly. Yep.
Well, I think it's at least,
think of you.
At least right. Charming that he is takes an interest in her and all the things, because my dad would never text me. First of all, that a dad uses text messages. I guess
that's one thing.
This girl. Number two is that he's surfing Craigslist. Number three is that he sends her a horse for sale ad. So not only is he surfing Craigslist, he's in the farm and garden section looking for horses. He's probably looking for really bad ads for our show. And then sends it to his daughter, get a horse. Oh, wait, no, you get this horse. And he wants a horse that goes on to say that he really wants a horse he doesn't like to ride, and he'd like to have one just to take care of. Aw, that's so sweet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're great if you want to pay for a large pet for a few months. He says, yep, that's what I want.
Yeah, I want that one.
What a guy.
That's great.
The world needs dads like that.
I know. Now, what is this? This next one? Is Glenn, talk to us a little bit about the music on this. How are we doing?
Okay, we can do this. So you wrote an article about musical suggestions for Vallegro and Charlotte's Next Freestyle. And of course, we talk about Charlotte Desjardins and Vallegro here all the time, you know, and especially the freestyles. They're just the most special things you'll ever watch. And she always managed to pick great music, but you thought she could use some suggestions.
I thought, you know, and this is one of my weird thought experiments as I'm driving down the road listening to the radio. I'm like, oh, man, if I just happen to have a Grand Prix dressage horse, I could totally do this song. Not that I'm nearly that talented, but I don't know. It's just something I amuse myself with. So I found myself listening to a bunch of things and was like, man, who's the best? I was like, oh, obviously Vallegro is the best. So let's see what would happen if she was to put these songs together and try this for her freestyle.
And
I found four very different.
You had some suggestions, and I can play a piece so people, you know, so they'll remember what they are, okay? So yeah. The first one you suggested was WALL-E, was the soundtrack to WALL-E. And you know, that had mostly music because nobody talked in the entire thing.
God,
so.
I hated that movie.
So this is a little bit of the soundtrack. Now
yeah,
you have to picture Vallegro and Charlotte doing freestyle to it, and it works. And I'm just going to play a little bit. I just picked a little bit out of the middle here. So you can picture, you know, them sort of doing their thing.
See, even the music is boring. God.
All right, so here's one that's a little more exciting. And I thought it was an interesting choice. And let's just play this a little and we'll see who recognizes it. Well, you can so see her riding down the center line with this, though, can't you?
Sounds like so.
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, someday. Somebody's got to do
it. What is that? What music is that?
It's Game of Thrones. Every Game of Thrones fan is like, yes, right now. So it's a very epic intro. It's the longest intro to a TV show I've ever seen. So she'd have to loop it quite a few times. But
see, I've seen like the first three episodes, and I just got Chad season two and season three. So we'll be hearing a lot of that. But I could totally see her cantering, like doing a flying changes, tempi changes to that.
Yeah, tempi changes.
Yeah.
And I'm way too old to know what the next one is. So you're going to have to explain the C2C one.
The C2C, Kristen?
Oh, did we lose her?
I am not necessarily familiar with the band. I've just heard the song. Someone put it on a mix CD, almost like a mixtape one.
All right.
CD. I listened to this and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's kind of jazzy. It's not quite a lyric song, but it's pretty cool.
All right, well, let's hear what it is. I've never heard of it before. I think the horse wouldn't know which direction to go.
I'm confused.
I'm not hearing that one in there.
I don't think the
whole song.
Yeah.
The whole song has like a bunch of different changes in it. So someday, you know, sit down and listen to the whole thing. But
maybe a piece, yeah, a little piece. I think the audience would go crazy. It's like, what?
I think that she'd stand up on the saddle and twerk after all that.
Yeah. And the judges would just faint.
The judges would faint for sure. Let's try this one. This next one is from Rachel Platten. It's called Fight Song. But I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream when we're out tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life. I can see the chorus in this.
I think they actually wrote this song about
Charlotte. Yeah, that's. I could see that one for sure.
Okay, I just sent you a suggestion, Glenn, on our chat, and I want you to see if you can pull that one up, because after listening to that one, it made me think of another song that might be even better. Are we able to pull it up?
Yeah, I'll try here. Give me a second.
This one, because that one sounded like Taylor Swift.
Let's see if I get a commercial. Yep. Okay. give me 10 seconds.
Okay, you have to click
to YouTube.
Skip it. Yeah. God, I hate that.
Yeah, this is one of those 15-second commercials. It's about an Apple.
An Apple computer?
Yes,
or
an Apple computer. It's a MacBook.
Skip through to the middle. We was here no more, but it kept respecting questions. Here no there we go.
I'm not hearing that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think she could do a whole Taylor Swift medley.
Yeah.
You're right.
Like a whole T-Swizz, like 5 minutes, like start with Shake It Off. And
it would be like a bad, depressing breakup freestyle.
No, because this one is empowering.
But she'd have to do it like a raining freestyle where like you whip the jacket off.
Yes. Yes, and the sliding stops would fit perfectly in there, too. Yeah, I think you're right. A raining freestyle.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. That's great. Do you, Kristen, do you ride around like sometimes you're doing practice in dressage and you're like thinking of songs? If you were to ever do a musical freestyle, the song that would play, or you hear a song, you're like, oh my God, I would totally do a musical freestyle with this song.
Yeah, actually, when I worked at the university, we did every, at the end of every December, we would do a reining freestyle night and kind of invite campus up to do that. So I did a bunch of reining freestyles, and those were really fun to put together. And the nice thing with a reining freestyle is usually you just pick one song and you're done. So you don't have to worry about like putting together a bunch of songs and kind of showcasing all the dressage moves. You just have to kind of do your reining pattern to that song. So those were usually a lot of fun to do. So I'm definitely more practice in reining than dressage. So my dressage freestyle would just be trotting in circles, I think. But
yeah,
reining
well,
is a lot of fun.
That's the thing is, in my mind, I'm on my big Andalusian stallion. And I'm at a Grand Prix horse show because I'm retired from jumping. I'm like, you know, 110. And I'm on my Andalusian stallion. And I come in to Where the Streets Have No Name by U2. I mean, come on, the cymbal crashes and the guitar.
Oh, just, yeah.
I've even got like the half the thing choreographed. But I have to be able to do tempi changes and canter pirouettes. So I got to get a horse that can do all that stuff.
Yeah, see, that's the only thing holding me back, really, is the fact that my little cow pony just figure this stuff out. I mean, otherwise, I'd be there like Rio 2016. I'm right there, but...
Yeah.
No, well, I don't have the horsepower.
The only thing holding me back is horse and talent. That's the only thing.
Kristen, do you...
That's it, really? I mean,
I mean that's the only thing. Those two problems.
Do you still show in reining and do that stuff?
I do not show much anymore. Actually, I shouldn't say much. I don't really show at all. Once I left university, I've just kind of gone back to horses as a hobby for right now. So I was celebrating earlier... about a month ago because my little cow pony that was a pasture pet before I moved here, he finally got the right lead. So we have two leads now. So that's a big deal. So I don't think he's show ready for a while. So the horses that we have, they had just been kind of sitting out in the pasture for a couple of years because my fiance and his sister kind of fell out of riding and now they're getting back into it again. So, you know, the three of us ride quite a bit. So the horses are getting back in shape. So, but yeah, Red's the only one with both leads now. So I'm winning.
That's great, baby steps. Hey, I just realized that our show is actually should be over right now. So we got to let Kristen go and say thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you. It's been fun.
Will you be here next week or we have Leslie back?
I think we're back to Leslie next week. She's actually in the air right now, so she should be back on American soil pretty soon.
Well, I'm sure she'll be traveling again soon. So we will talk to you very soon. Kristen, thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Hey,
very much.
Good luck at the wedding.
Yay. Take pictures.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Like we'll have to share some photos for you.
All right, good. Absolutely. Definitely do that. Thanks, Kristen.
Bye-bye.
Well, I guess that's it for our show. I just noticed that, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what time is it? Oh, my gosh. Well, that went fast. All right, so the lesson today is I've cried twice during this show. My body hurts. I'm going to go take some Advil and lay back down.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good. I'm going to go out and I'm going to make I have to get together to make a mixtape for my pony. So I'm going to be doing
and
that.
And get some earplugs. Talk to American Pharoahs people.
Yeah,
figure out
I think earplugs
is.
Would probably be easier than the mixtape. Probably.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow. And, of course, Jamie will be back on Wednesday. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Take care.
Spay and